Ben Moore has been in love with bees for as long as anyone can remember. And as far as we can tell, the feeling is entirely mutual. Although he still sometimes feels the sting of his passion. Hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hello everyone, Bees with Ben. Got a really cool episode on, and again this week we're going to talk to Stephanie Parsons. Now Steph has just started working with John Edmonds, and she is an absolute bubble of enthusiasm. Now I met her, I had to do a talk, this is quite a few weeks ago, at the Geelong Beekeeping Club, and she is an absolutely amazing, amazing beekeeper. You're going to hear, she's like loving it. Her enthusiasm just bubbles. So it's really cool. We're going to talk to Steph, and what we're going to do, we're going to give her a buzz and see what she's up to, because she's working today, and see what she's up to and what she is doing.
Hello.
Good morning, Steph. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How's your week?
Oh, you know, busy, busy, busy as always.
What happened during the week? What was the most exciting thing?
Well, I work pretty much every day of the week, so I did my forklift license. So that was pretty exciting.
Oh, cool.
And went for 2 days. And then I was doing bees before that.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Now we're in the full swing of the podcast. So this, it's good to hear raw and organic. So tell us all a little about you, Steph, because you're just a young'un, and tell us what you'll do before your job you're doing now.
Before my job now?
Yes.
Well, I actually, before beekeeping, I actually wanted to be in the Navy.
Oh, awesome.
So I did Navy cadets from like 13 pretty much the whole way through. And I was dead set keen on going into the Navy. And then I did all my, like, pre-stuff, like, you do a psych and job interview.
Okay.
And because I was, you know, at school and bored. And then I went to go and do my medical, and I actually failed my medical.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because I have no colour perception.
Really?
Which is, yeah, it's super rare in females. And it's linked with your X chromosome, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And I think it's also recessive. So mum and dad would be both carriers. So it may not be like prevalent in my mum or my dad, but because I got an X chromosome from my dad and one from my, you know what I mean?
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Now when you say colour perception, so are we talking colour blindness or we're talking something a little bit different?
No, it's completely different. You know the circles that have like a bunch of different colours and then the number in it and you've got to see the number?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, most of them I can't see.
Wow.
So I have level 3 colour perception. So I literally can't, like if you popped up like 6 on a screen, I could probably see 1 or 2 and that'd be it.
Wow. How interesting is that? That's very interesting.
Yeah. And then before I worked for John, I worked at Macca's,
yeah,
which was the worst thing of my life.
Now, tell us why is that, Steph?
Because hospitality is just, it's not where it's at. It's my major like rave about working at Macca's is that like people are just rude to you.
Okay, the customers.
Like I'm 15 and 9 months old and I'm getting paid $10.80 an hour. I don't deserve to put up with you being horrible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And like I had one shift, it was my first shift in the drive through. And this lady, she was like going off at me because her fries, she got like a small pack of fries and like there was not enough in the small pack of fries. But how much can you fit in a small pack of fries, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, and so she's like sitting there like going off at me with her daughter sitting next to her. And I was like, excuse me, but there's no need to speak to me like that. And my manager was like, she's like, Steph, just walk away, walk away. And I got like sent home.
Really?
Because I stuck up for myself with this woman in the drive-thru. Yeah.
Now, do you think there's a positive though, Steph? Like, you know, for every negative situation, there's almost definitely a positive outcome. So, I think,
because I'm a big believer in, you know, like monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah.
The fact that I stood up to that woman in front of her daughter, because her daughter was sitting right there and she was like tiny tacker, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like the fact that that behaviour was pulled up in front of her so that she knows that that's not an acceptable way to treat people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So we're not further entrenching that cycle of, you know what I mean?
Well, that's awesome. That's really cool that you've done that. You know what I mean? And to actually recognise that, you know, there's a way of, you know, people dealing with something. You know what I mean? If she's going off about fries, well, it sort of almost tells me that her life, that sort of customer's life, is pretty miserable. If you're going to, you know, have the sooks up about,
you know, yeah, about a pack of fries. Like,
I know, exactly.
And, like, I'm standing there and I'm like, I'm getting paid, because back then, now you get paid better at Macca's, but I got paid, like, $10.80 an hour. And, like, my first 23 hours I spent on a pair of AirPods.
Yeah, awesome.
But, like, you know what I mean? You don't get paid enough to deal with that.
Nice, yeah. It's totally understandable. The other thing is too, just being such, well, the positive I see as working at Macca's, it's obviously, it's a lot of structure, a lot of training. So I think obviously you recognize that and sets you up, which we'll talk about sort of bees in a sec, but how it is, that's a cool thing you're doing there. How long are you there for working at Macca's?
Oh, a year, and I hated every second of it. Oh, well, the first like 3 weeks is like a honeymoon period because you're like, yeah, I'm earning money. Like, this is great. And then you get into the nitty gritty of it and it's like, you know what I mean?
And then you're sucked into the vortex of working at Macca's. Now, the listener's going to be asking, what's your age? How old are you, Steph?
I'm 18. I just turned 18.
Just turned 18. That's awesome. You're absolutely kicking goals because the job you have found, your dream job. Tell us about that. How did that all transpire from, you know, we've wanted to be in the Navy, which is cool. We've slogged it out at Macca's. And now, how did it first kick off? What was those first moments of obviously getting your dream job?
Well, because I was still in school because I only just finished VCE, which I don't exactly recommend. But anyway, so I was, like, it was online learning and it was the last day of online learning. And I kind of, like, not that I had a blasé kind of attitude to school, but I would rather be outside doing the whippersnippering than sitting there doing my maths equations. Anyway, and so I was outside and Mum had this lady who was, like, one of her friends, but also because my mum has a shop. So it was one of her customers who was also friends with her. And they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to do the bees. Do you want to join? And I was like, hell yeah, count me in.
Awesome.
Because my dad used to have bees. And so there was like a bunch of random hives because my parents split. And it was like 2 years after they split. And me and Mum were like, hey, there's something still kicking around in that box.
Okay. Yeah.
And so there was like 4 hives. And they all had various problems of being queenless, et cetera, et cetera. And, hang on, there's a customer here. I'm at work right now. Anyway, and so,
You're working at John's now, are you?
Yeah. I'm sitting here.
Oh, that's awesome. No, you do your thing. Yeah. This is actually cool to hear. Make sure we can hear the conversation
that I have with this customer.
Yeah, we want to hear. This is.
Catch me in action.
That's right. Exactly.
That's cool. Yeah. G'day. How's it going? What can I do for you? Oh, hang on. Let me see if John remembered that.
Okay.
Did you remember? Girl. Yeah, me.
Oh, that was you.
But I wasn't here the last 2 days because I was doing my focus license.
Oh, okay. Did you get it?
That, well, it wasn't me that would have gotten it. It would have been John.
No, I mean, did you get your focus license?
Oh, I did, actually. I smashed it out of the park. 61 out of 61. I'm currently on a podcast, by the way, so say hi to the podcast.
Hi, podcast.
I'm just going to go and ask John if he got it, because I don't know if he did, because I wasn't here. Oh, and then we might have to go and get it. Well, that'll be exciting.
What's the customer getting, Steph?
Nucleus Hive.
Ah, cool. Awesome. Yeah, cool.
John, did you do that Nucleus Hive for that lady? Did you do that Nucleus for that lady? Do you want me to go and do it? Secret site?
Oh, secret site.
Secret site.
I like that. Well, that sounds, where's the secret site? Actually, it won't be a secret site.
Porn? Secret site? All right. I'm going to go get it. All right. Well, in action, doing the bees right
so,
now.
That's awesome. So we got this. This is fantastic to have absolutely here. So now, obviously, while you're working, so
are you happy to wait like half an hour for me to go and get it?
Oh.
Yeah?
Half
an hour? Yes. I'm just going to pop down to
a bee site.
Okay. And I'll go and get it. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay.
If you just come around the corner, there's tea and coffee.
Oh,
oh yeah, turn your car off because I'll be half an hour because I've got to go pick one. No worries. I don't have a veil for you. No worries. Okay. what am I doing? Okay.
We're talking and we're grabbing a nuke of bees for a customer. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, welcome to my life. I just kind of like go off the cuff and I'm like, yeah, she'll be right. Cool. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, so what was I talking about?
Okay, so we haven't sort of told the listeners yet, but you work for John Edmonds.
Yeah, I do.
That's awesome.
He's actually my bestie.
Oh, like, bestie. Literally. Oh, that's awesome.
He's like 40 years older than me, but he's like my best friend.
Awesome. He's an absolute legend. And we had him in the podcast, it'd be about a year and a half ago, which was absolutely
awesome.
That's kind of wild. Which is really cool.
Yeah, he's a bit of a queen. I actually love John. I've been working for him. Well, it was kind of strange because I was doing some bee stuff it was like the first year of online learning.
Okay.
Mail check, smoker check, fuel. And so it was like the last, oh no, the first year, yeah. And so I was like doing this bee stuff with this lady who, she's a bit questionable, honestly, now that I look back on some of the stuff that she showed me, but she introduced me to bees, so can't hate on her for any of that.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, and so, and so I was, like, getting into it and everything, and my mum has a shop, right? And so she's been buying honey off of John for, like, 10 years.
Okay, what's the shop? Something what was your mum's
like
shop?
It's like a fruit and vegetable shop.
Oh, okay, cool.
Magic Meadow, go follow her on Facebook. Shout out to mum.
Okay, awesome.
Anyway, and so I was standing there and one of the other workers, Davros, who's like, he does the wholesale like honey stuff.
Okay.
And he was there whilst I was like opening up a hive. And he was like, do you want a job? And I was like, okay. And yeah. And then I rocked up to my job interview with, it was George, who's another one of our workers.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a legend too. And I rocked up and it was, the job interview went from what hours can you work, which for me, because I was in year 12, was only, I worked Saturdays, all day, every day, Saturday.
Yep.
So it went from working, talking about what hours I could work to rapid gel.
Okay.
Which is the chillest job interview I've ever had in my life.
That's awesome.
And then so it was still school holidays at that point. And so I worked the last week of the school holidays and I worked something like 40 hours.
Yep.
And the first job I did for this whole week was literally painting. We got, because we do queen breeding.
Yep.
And I spent the whole week painting mini nukes. And I put four layers. I put the first like pre-layer, another layer, and then the final layer of paint on it. And that's what I did to 500 mini nukes.
Oh, wow.
In a week. It was because we used these polystyrene ones.
Yep.
Because polystyrene, the bees chew polystyrene. Even when you paint it, like they find a way. They're set on chewing that.
Okay, yeah.
And so I painted it. And that's what I did for the first week. And then I came back and I started doing a little bit of B stuff, but more like just random like tidbits and jobs and stuff, because I still was like, I had enough retail experience to like, you know, sell people stuff. But the beekeeping like supply side of the business, you kind of actually really need to know about like bees.
Yes, the nitty gritty.
Yeah, because people come into us and they ask us for advice, and like we give them advice because, you know, yeah, that's our job.
Yeah,
it's like
a
whole part of the experience.
Yes, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And so, I've got to make a call for Nuke Box too. Because we sell our nukes in core flutes because it's just easier.
Yes.
And five frame.
Yeah.
I was on a trail thought process. Yeah. So I was just like hanging out doing like bits and pieces, and then John started taking me to bees a bit more because I was still doing year 12. So okay. I, you know, was like mucking around with that. And then
Did you pass year 12?
Yeah.
Awesome. Good job.
I did my exams and well and truly passed.
That's awesome.
Especially considering like at that point because I knew I wasn't going into the Navy anymore, and I have not got the time management skills to go to university.
Yeah.
Or the patience. Okay. My sister, she's dead set on being a vet, and she's got like 8 years of school ahead of her, and I'm like, you know what? 13 years was enough for me. I was like, not doing university, not doing nothing. And I was like, oh, okay, bees it is. That's pretty much how it went. And then, yeah, I just worked bits and pieces. And then I finished my exam, which was a slight nightmare.
Okay, yeah.
Because the week of, about 4 weeks before my exam, my mum was in an accident. So that was interesting to juggle because it was a tractor accident, and she shattered her shoulder and dislocated it at the same time.
Okay.
And it's actually her birthday today, by the way.
So happy birthday to Mum. That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I had that to deal with, and then I had my exam. So, and then I was working the bees and everything, finished them, and then I finished school. Waited till I got my license.
Okay.
And then I started working full time for John. And I've been pretty much working full time for him ever since then.
Okay. Awesome.
And we pretty much do like a whole bunch of things. Like there's like a million and one things we do.
Of course. Yeah.
But, cause that's the nature of beekeeping. But, we're doing that. And yeah, we do like bees, like sales. Honey packing, extracting, which is the stickiest job, by the way.
Yes.
And queens, which is mainly what we do, like grafting and stuff. And
they're to sell, Steph? Like, so breeding queens?
Yeah. Oh, and we do some, well, it depends. So in our, like, queen breeding thing, we use, like, mini nukes we put the cell out in it. And then we let them mate in. Well, we use the Werribee Sturge Farm because there's like so many people have bees nowadays. There's a lot of pollution everywhere.
Yeah, okay.
From bees, from other people's bees, because they don't have, like, we breed Carniolans.
Okay.
Because Carniolans, well, we believe are the best suited to our environment.
Okay.
Down here in the Surf Coast in Geelong.
Yes.
Because they're just much more tactile. They, like, in cooler weather, they're the ones that are flying, not your Italian. When it's really, like, they fly at cooler temperatures.
Yes.
They don't eat anywhere near as much honey, you know, that sort of thing.
Are they friendly? Are they docile? Like, how would you do
that? Check out the Facebook Edmund Honey. There's heaps of videos on there of me doing it without even a veil on.
Okay, what I'll do is I'm going to put that in the show notes because so everyone can see you working away at obviously with the bees, working with John, and you're doing your thing. So it's really, really cool. So I'll put that in the show notes for people to check out.
Yeah. So check us out. John's not really tech savvy, which is so funny. Bless him though. But because the other week I was like, oh, I'm going to do like Facebook Live. And he was like, oh, you got it up already? And I was like, yeah, because it's just on my phone, you know?
Yeah.
So we like breed minis and Wilson and what was it? Oh, I was on a trail about something. Yeah, we breed carnies. They're good suit. They're well suited. But for ourselves, every batch we keep like some.
Okay.
The ones that we think are, well, we just test them essentially. So we know that we're still providing really good quality queens.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
And make sure, like in every batch, I mean, you can have like things go wrong. Like there's 101 different things that can go wrong. And there's
what's an example?
205.
What's an example?
Like sometimes if we chill the cells, like by accident, like we just discovered the other day that some of our cells we might have chilled.
Okay, and what happened?
Because we use like mid bar frames in our queen breeding program,
yeah.
And so the mid bars. Don't mind me, I'm just making a call for Luca.
That's awesome. that's really cool. And, hang on 2 seconds. We'll come back to the queen. So at the moment, so you're at this bee site, the secret site, and we're putting bees.
Yeah, I'm actually physically like making the nuke.
Okay, you got to fold them up.
Fold it like 105 times, and it takes me about 5 minutes to do it.
Okay, you got to time yourself. You got to time yourself. But here's a challenge for you, Steph. So the quickest I've ever done one of those core flute nukes is folded up with the entrances in 1:52.
What the heck?
Yeah,
that is 1:52.
I know. That's my quickest. I used to time myself.
Oh my god, I should do that.
Yeah, it's your time.
I'll get back to you on that.
that's your record. You got to break.
Okay, I reckon challenge accepted. Honestly,
it's done.
Well, I've pretty much already done it. Just now,
that's good.
I don't know how long.
So, sorry, yeah. We just digress. So, talking about the possible chilled the brew, the chilled the queen cells. So, talk us through that.
Yeah. Oh, so we think we accidentally did it because we used mid bar frames for our queen, like for the cells when we actually like graft them and stuff. And so, there's a middle bar, but when we take the cells out of our cell raisers. Sometimes we don't take quite enough bees, so there's not like a full brimming box of bees,
okay.
Which means that they're not, and because they're in the middle of the bar, when you're traveling, the bees, the hum of the engine, they like cluster and everything, and they go towards the roof of the nuke,
yep.
And so they don't always cover the cells,
okay,
so they get cold.
Okay.
And when they get cold, they pretty much like say the queen cells, like the queen in the cell, dies.
Yeah.
And so that cell doesn't turn into anything. Like it doesn't eventuate. And then because we don't open them up for 4 to 5 weeks so that we can, we leave them 4 to 5 weeks so that they've got, you know, we put the cells out in about 10 days or something like that.
Yes. Okay.
And then so they've got 2 weeks to mate because the 11th day they hatch. They got 2 weeks to mate, and then after that, they've got 3 weeks for their brood. So they start laying, and their brood to be sealed and start hatching.
Okay.
So yep. We can see the color of the bees.
Yep.
So we can continue to selectively choose because we've bred them to be dark, like dark in color, like gray.
Okay.
Which is really hard to like distinguish in bees because. Well, I still can't, like, I still have trouble trying to distinguish, like, a yellow bee from a grey one. Although there's a legitimate difference, but it's hard to, like, you know, just go after that.
Yeah, okay.
Tape. So, we, like, leave them that period of time in those mini-nukes, but 5 weeks, if there's no brood in 5 weeks, and there's no queen that's eventuated, you end up pretty much losing the mini nukes because, queen marking pen. Because there's like no young stuff in there.
Yes.
And then when you go to put a cell in it, because there's no young bees, sometimes like the bees and they're queenless. So if there's no honey flow, sometimes they don't accept cells. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It just depends on like 101 other factors that are influencing the situation, which is what I find like so interesting about beekeeping, because like there's 110 different ways to do it, and there's no right way and there's no wrong way. There's just your way and my way.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Exactly. That's so true. So in saying that, what would you say would be the best part working with for John Edmonds? The best part and the worst part, for that matter.
Well, my least favourite thing is stock take, because you just sit there and count. And that's, I'd rather pull my hair out, watch walls, the paint dry on the walls, maybe the election. That's probably a bit more interesting.
I've got to ask the question. So stock take, is he doing that because you've been naughty and you're being punished?
No, we do stock take. No, I hope not. No, we do stock take like every year.
Okay.
So that we know like what stock we've got.
Okay.
And then because we're bringing Jono into the 21st century, I got him a square terminal, like a point of sale square thing, which is the best invention ever. Like, honestly, shout out to Squares, solid. Keys. Yeah. So we do stock take, and then we put stock take into Square.
Okay.
So that when I might be a bit dodgy because it's going to change over to my Bluetooth on my car.
Yeah, that's fine.
My own stereo in my car. How good is that?
That's awesome. That's cool.
Took me 5 hours, but that's all right.
That's cool. Good job.
So we're off to the secret site now. I've got all my stuff.
So we've got everything. Boxes ready.
Frame, broker, fuel, veil, a tool, don't need gloves, I can't think of anything else I'm missing. Well, can you?
Yeah, gotcha.
Hang on.
No, we gotcha.
All right. So
we're off to secret site. So we're just talking about the sort of the worst part. Johnny makes you to the stock take. I still reckon you when you've been naughty. But anyway, so what about the best thing working for John?
Well, I really love sitting in the car with him on the way to the bees, and just like at the bees in general.
Because
like the man's got 151 stories, and like he's actually really funny.
Yes.
Like. Yeah. I can't deal with this man. He was like, what was he telling me? Oh, he was telling me something the other day, and I was literally laughing so hard. I was like, how are you just funny? You're like twice my age.
Did you say twice the age? I think it might be three times, Steph.
Three times my age,
Three times.
and he's like, I have this thing about Sunny. I love my sunnies. Like, I've got the most ridiculous, biggest looking sunnies around because there's no other way to wear your sunnies, right?
Yes, yeah.
And so he was, like, wearing, because I've got, like, 5 pairs on the go all the time because I constantly lose them. Because I, like, if I'm doing something, like, if I'm in the honey, we've got, like, a shed that's full of, like, all of our honey stuff. And so if I'm in there and I'm, like, moving boxes around, et cetera, et cetera, it's, like, a real pain to have your sunnies on the top of your head because they fall off.
Of course.
And so I just like put them down on a pallet, and I got like all the most ridiculous looking sunglasses. And every time I like lose them and somebody else finds them, they take a photo with like my sunnies on their face and send it to me.
Oh, that's awesome! Love it.
Like in house, like joke. And so the other week, John like he put on one of my sunnies and he goes to me, he's like, "I do not understand how you can see out of these things."
That's funny. You have to send us if you got some of those photos. So you got to send them to us. Shoot them through. Send them through. I'll put them in on Instagram and Facebook. That is absolutely funny. Yes, that's gold. So you're driving to the secret site now. How far away is that?
About
15 k's. 15 k's. Okay, so we're going there.
So it's pretty central. We got lots of sites. Secret site is obviously a secret site.
Yeah, of course.
And then, so we got like sites
everywhere. Most of them we use predominantly private sites.
Yeah, okay.
Only because John's been burnt like a lot of times by people who vandalise. Like he had someone set them on fire.
Fair dinkum.
Like,
bloody hell.
Like, what the heck? Like, I don't know about you, but what would inspire you to A, go up to beehives without any protection? Like, imagine if they were stinging. That's the other issue we have too. Most of our bees aren't stinging. Like, the other day we were doing sugar shakes and John didn't even have a veil on. Like,
yes, yep.
So anybody could walk up to them and you could open them and they just sit there and they just look at you, right? So, A, I don't know what inspires someone to go and open up a beehive that, you know, doesn't have bees or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, B, destroy somebody else's, like, stuff.
Property, that's right.
I don't understand that. Like, and there's, like, I don't think John has any, like, real insurance over, like, you don't have insurance over bees, you have insurance over the gear. Your brain stuff. But even then, that doesn't even out the cost of going, like, making a whole new nuisance.
I agree, Steph. And the other thing is, too, it's just down outright cruel. Like, now, it's cruel to obviously the bees and just to vandalize someone else's stuff. Like, it's one thing that absolutely annoys me is vandalism. You know what I mean? Because it's just, it is. Yeah, I don't understand.
It's so unnecessary. It's like, what were you thinking? But yeah, so we've got like lots of government sites which we use when we know there's honey on.
Yep.
Like, so we've got some sites up in the Grampians that we put bees on at when the school kids finish, because that's when the manuka starts flowering and yielding up there.
Okay. Cool.
According to John, in the area we go to. So we went and put some bees up there. But, like, otherwise we don't really risk government sites.
Yes, yep.
Because it's just, like, too much of a hassle with people. And that's why also we, at our government sites, we always have the first two, like, we put our bees on pallets.
Yep.
Because you just go in there with the truck and then you can use the forklift to lift them, and it's way easier than gut busting them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So we like, and also to prevent people from stealing them, we literally salt them to pallets.
Yeah, you think it really.
So like, we use three different types of screws on the outside and on the inside of the hive, so that you literally have to open this thing up, and unless you've got three different types of screw heads, you can't take this pallet, like this beehive, away.
Yeah.
Stop people from pinching them, but the first two pallets have always got stingy bees in them.
Okay, stingy. Get the stingy ones out the front.
The stingier of the lot. Yeah, because if they're going to go up, they're not going to walk all the way to the back. They're going to go for the first one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if they get belted up by that, they might just leave them alone.
Yeah.
But like, even the fact that we have to, like, one of our sites out at Inverley when we had bees on it. Like, John, we would drive in, and then when we drove out, we would cover our tracks and make new tracks just so that people didn't know that was our site.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that we even have to do that is just kind of crazy, isn't it?
I know. It is. It's just shocking, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, things, the way the world's been, obviously after COVID, you know, obviously we're still tail end of, I suppose, this pandemic. But the price on diesel, you know what I mean? How's
my tank is currently sitting at a quarter of tank, and I don't even want to go and fill it, because I now have a diesel. I used to have a RAV.
Yes, yep.
And RAV makes beekeeping interesting, I tell you, because I could fit 8 hives in the back of my RAV comfortably, and I would have like 2 nukes on my front seat, and driving between my own bee sites was yeah, you've got to drive slow. But no, I got a Ranger.
Okay.
And awesome. It's diesel.
Oh, wow.
And it initially, before the cost of diesel went through the freaking roof,
yes,
it was like $80 to fill. And I went from a RAV. My RAV was $45 to fill up.
To fill up. It's,
$80. And now it's like $130. And I'm literally just crying because of how, ouch, my bank account is like, what are you doing, Stephanie?
I know, that's crazy. Now, you're working with John full-time, aren't you, Steph?
Yeah.
So talk us through. So is that like what? It wouldn't be a Monday to Friday necessarily. So how does a working week sort of generally look?
Well, I generally work Monday to Saturday. For some reason, we don't really work Sundays.
Yeah.
Whatever reason John picked. Probably because he wanted to go to church or something. It's kind of... The one thing I love about beekeeping is that it's not like your normal 9-to-5 boring office job. Like, I literally get paid to go places and see things and work bees, like literally do what I love.
Mm.
And, like, I remember I had this customer in the other day and we were talking about it and he's like, yeah, I'm in property management. I definitely got the short end of the stick.
That's okay.
Yeah. A day can be anything. Like, if we've got, because sometimes we go to beekeeping meetings, like in Werribee, and like clubs invite John to the beekeeping meetings and I just go, because I set him up with a PowerPoint so he's got some props
okay. to
talk about stuff.
That's cool.
And so we like go to them, and so on those kinds of days we usually finish about 4:30, 5 o'clock, just so that we can get to those places in time. But in saying that, there's plenty of times where I've been out at the bees till like 8 o'clock at night because we're moving them, or like hatching queens and it's like 7:15. And it's because there's daylight savings too in summer when we're catching.
Yeah, of course.
So it's, you know, like 25, 26 degrees at 7 o'clock at night and we're out still catching. And then there's some days like that if I've got, I don't know, something on in the morning, it kind of like evens out.
Yeah, of course it's, yeah, yeah.
So like some mornings he's like, the other day he had to go pick up his glasses. So... it like mucked us around a bit, but it was all right.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
And if we know where we're going, like, because I live about like half an hour away from John.
Okay. Yep.
Just half an hour trip into work, half an hour back home.
Yep.
And so if we're going out towards Werribee, where we got the Werribee Sturage Farm, which we use for all of our queen breeding stuff, pretty much.
Yep.
If we're going out there, like, he'll pick me up in the morning on the way.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because then I don't have an extra hour added on.
Yeah, traveling. Makes sense.
My trip. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it just like, it evens out. It really, there's no set time frame at all.
Yes, yep.
Which is kind of the cool thing. So, I don't mind that.
So how does that work? So would the day before, the night before, do you work out a plan for the next day? How does John sort of organise that?
Well, we kind of work out a plan for the week.
Okay, for the week, yep.
So, like, on a Saturday, when it's... Saturday is our more relaxed kind of day, kind of.
Yep.
So, like, Saturdays is usually the day that John will go and do stuff like get... Because I'll watch the shop and John will go and then I'll talk to customers and stuff. And then John will go to the bees and, like, prep our cell raises so that we can graft on Monday.
Okay. Yep.
But we generally do a day of grafting, a day of catching, and a day of putting cells out.
Okay, yep.
And that is all weather dependent.
Okay, yes, yep.
So that can change at any point of time.
Mm.
Like the other day we were still working bees and it was probably about 18 degrees and it was raining.
Yes, yep.
And we were like just closing the mini nukes up.
Yep.
Because we had just left in time. And then, so if it's really grafting on days, it also depends on the actual environment.
Yeah,
so,
course.
Like, the
yeah.
other week I did my first graft on my own.
Okay, yeah.
So, which is, like, a really lengthy process because we got, at our cell raising site, we've got breeders there. And then, so you've got to go through and you've got to pick the right size cell.
Yes.
So you've got to pick, you know, your little defined seed. And then, so you got to actually pick that breeding stock, which I'd never done on my own. Like, I'd always been like, hey, John, this is a good frame, right?
Yeah,
and he'd be like, yeah, 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 or no, this one's better. You know what I mean?
Yes, yep, yeah.
That kind of like mentoring sort of thing.
Yes.
And so I had to do that. And then
the area that it was, it wasn't too crash hot in terms of honey.
Okay.
So, like, I had issues with them trying to rob the frames as I was rafting.
As you had the frames out.
Which is such a pain because it's really hard to graft. It's really hard to graft with a veil on.
Yep.
Like, it's really hard. Like, because you can't, because you've got the veil and you can't really see. Because normally we don't graft with veils on.
Yeah.
But they were just, it was robbing and the attitude of the bees, they just completely change. And so I was, like, getting stung, which is really interesting because I got, like, dark hair.
Okay,
and I always wear a white cap. Jotun got me this Bunnings trade cap,
yes,
and I wear it. And right on the back of the head, in the little circle where you know your ponytail goes through, I always get stung there.
Okay.
Oh, anyway. And so yeah, I had to do the graft. Well, what I ended up doing was I shook all the bees off the frames for the grafting cells, and then I actually got. We had like a bee brush. And I brushed all the bees off. I shut the door, like the windows of the ute that we use, the DMAC.
Yes, yeah.
And then I drove like 100 metres away so that I could do the graft and try and be speedy. And so that it would be like less time before they found me and started trying to rob the frames again.
That's funny. Then you have to swing the frame back. That's funny.
Yeah, literally. And then, yeah.
And Steph, what about the bee stings? How do you go with those?
It's really funny because sometimes I swell up and sometimes I don't.
Yes, yep.
On my fingers, I don't really swell, like at all. I got used to being stung on the fingers because when you're catching queens and you got to put all your workers in, if you don't put a bum in first, you get stung. I was like, oh. But the other day I got stung on the nose, which, oh my God, that is the most painful sting of my life I think I've ever had.
Are you sneezing?
Yeah. Oh my God, what the heck? And my nose was running and my eyes were like, whoo. And Don was like, just chill out for a minute, love. And I was like, okay. you get like stung on those kind of places, but it didn't really swell up, which was kind of strange. I've never really had that problem. Oh my God, there's like millions of people at this near this site.
Oh, the secret site. Is there a lot of people there?
Yeah, the secret site. There's freaking stacked. It's like all these, yeah, Jesus Christ, okay. Well, lucky they're good bees. yeah, I'm like two, not even a minute away from the site. The secret site. I don't even know why we call it the secret site.
I've always known it as the secret site. I think I want a secret site. I'm going to do that next week.
Yeah. And then you just talk about secret site.
And question, Steph. So what about where? What's the plans for you next? You know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. What are your sort of goals and what are your thoughts?
Well, I would really like to really get into queen breeding.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Because I think it's the coolest industry ever.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's so left field, and I like doing things that are really left field because it makes things interesting. Especially when you've got Tinder and people ask you, like, what you do as your job. And it's like, I'm a beekeeper. And they're like, what? Yeah, right. How funny.
That's right. Like little rock stars, beekeepers. Yeah. Beekeepers are rock stars.
Yeah. Bloody oath. Hang on, I've got to open the gate. So you might not be able to hear me for a second. But, I kind of really want to get into queen breeding with John.
Okay, yes.
And kind of get, like, you know, a reputation up for having really good queens. Give me a sec.
There you go. How cool is this? Steph's on the way to grab some bees, and we've just been hearing the story. It's absolutely cool, as she's just opening the gate to the secret site.
Hey, let me drive in.
Okay, drive in. You got to close the gate behind you?
No,
you do it on the way out. Yes,
not this side.
Not that side.
Not this
yeah,
site.
Some sites you got to do that.
Not that side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because how? At the Werribee Sewage Farm, me and John were literally mid-catching queens, and there was like all these cows. And I was like, John, what's going on here? Ooh, I'm
looking at the hoops that we got here. So, I don't even know what's here.
So we're So you want to do so Queens as a profession? That's the goals.
Sorry.
Just lost you. Are
you there?
Yeah. Just lost you for 2 seconds. So as far as you want to do that as a profession, so
be a queen breeder.
That's awesome. That's really cool. And the other thing is too, I'm going to put in the show notes because you've got a little Facebook page.
Well, because I've been doing my own little honey thing, just you know, for some extra pocket money and to really like fund my own bees.
Yep.
It's great for tax write-off too because I claim everything on tax.
John taught you that one too, didn't he?
Yeah, Johnny taught me that one. I don't do a lot of posting to it only because I do all of the social media for Edmund Honey.
Okay, yes, yep.
So I don't post a whole lot, but I post random tidbits here and there.
Okay.
Of beekeeping, et cetera.
So I'll put that in the show notes so people can see John's Facebook page because it's really cool what you've been doing, you know, because John never really done much with it. And since you've come on board, it's awesome seeing what you're doing and little videos and lives and so forth. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like beekeeping is like nobody really knows about it.
Yeah, yeah.
As a career.
Yes.
Which is good and bad because, like, the issue that I see beekeeping having is that there's all these old fellas that are in beekeeping, like the likes of John.
Yep.
And, you know, they have so much knowledge and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just trying to make this queen marking pen work because it's funny. It's like brand new, it's fresh. And so it's having a heart attack. Anyway, so there's all these like oldies that know so much and they don't really have anyone underneath them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, but even as an industry, like, it's the coolest industry, A. Oh, but
totally agree.
That not many people know much about it, A, because pretty much every beekeeper I've ever met is cagey about what they tell you. and B, like, I really want to share that with people.
Yeah, that's awesome, Steph. Like, that's really cool.
Share, like, queen breeding. And because I think it's a fantastic industry, particularly for women.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Because it's not heavy.
Yes,
Whereas honey is really heavy.
Yeah,
And, like, my first day ever that I went with John to the Bees, he, I'm just currently reaching for my smoker. He was like, oi, come here. And I was like, yep, I'm here. And he was like, try and lift this box. And it was a full jet honey, like, box, and it was chock-a-block with honey, full. And he was like, try and lift this. And I was like, okay. And I tried to move it. And it literally did not move.
Yes, yeah.
No word of a lie. It didn't move. And I was trying, like, you know, and so he was like, I think you can hold the smoker and I'll do this part. And I was like, okay. And then queen breeding it was.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. It's just working with what you've got and can do. You know what I mean? It's like I struggle, you know, grafting because I've got big fat fingers. You know what I mean? It's kind of So obviously,
he started hatching queens too.
Yes.
Like hatching? Yeah. You got big fingers.
Big fingers, so it's harder and it's kind of a lot more difficult. So that's cool. Well, that's awesome, Steph. So what we're going to do, we're going to let you fire up that smoker and do the bees. So we'll scoot. It's been absolutely awesome talking to you. But what we're going to do, we're going to call you in a year's time.
Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah. Year's time, and we're going to get some updates on what you've been up to.
Some updates on what I've been doing.
Yeah, doing things and how you've been and so forth. But that was an absolute pleasure talking to you. And I just, absolute ooze enthusiasm. And which is really, really cool. And just remember, performance is often better than experience. So if you think about it.
So
you can have all the experience in the world, but, you know, you're performing and you're in there and you're doing it. It's absolutely cool to see it. So it's absolutely been a pleasure talking to you, Steph.
Yeah, thanks.
Awesome. So, all right, you have fun. Have an awesome day. You catch those bees.
I will.
Pop them in the box and we will talk to you soon.
See you then.
There. Catch you, mate. Bye.
Bye.
What an awesome episode with Steph. You know, talking to her about, you know, working with John, her life, you know, funny story obviously with Macca's, you know, how smart and intelligent is she? You know, well beyond her years. Really cool. You know, she just as I said, she just bubbles enthusiasm. And Steph, you know, you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And that's so, so true. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to the years to come to see Steph working, you know, and what she's doing with Queens and so forth. So absolutely awesome. And a big shout out to Steph. I really appreciate your time. That was really cool. And I'll put the details in the show notes to follow Steph. And John, obviously, she's doing really cool videos on John Edmonds' Facebook page, which is awesome. So we can actually see her in action with the bees. And she's an absolute natural. And don't forget, Steph, when you want to keep up working with John, I've got a place for you anytime because you're absolutely amazing. Really, really cool. And once again, thank you for all the listeners. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Really appreciate your time jumping on board and having a listen about people and their bees and stories and things. Absolutely cool. Don't forget, if you want to hear someone, let us know. Send me a text is best, 0437-077-92. I can be a bit not slack on the emails, but just I'm not behind a computer all that much. I've been busy getting my bees ready for winter time. And also, too, I've been doing wasps, been a few wasps around lately. A lot of the city slickers don't know the difference between a bee and a wasp. You know, Vespula germanica, as opposed to Apis mellifera, they do look somewhat similar. I can understand why people don't recognize it. If you don't know, you don't know. So I've been doing a few of those lately. So, and winter is going to be around the corner for me or for us in Melbourne, not far to go. So I've been getting the bees ready and looking good. As far as the actual flowers, we've had a bit of red stringy bark and a little bit of patchy bits of mess, mate, and a few odds and sods getting around. So I'm lucky my bees are looking pretty good to get through winter, which is very, very cool. It's very reassuring to know the bees will do well. So it's important. So thanks again. Don't forget, look after yourself, look after each other, and look after those bees. Bye for now.